Our psalm reading today is Psalm 37, 1 through 20. And Don, could you do that?
Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil, for the evildoers will be cut off. But those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash his teeth at him. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend their bows to bring down the poor and the needy, to slay those whose way is upright. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Better is a little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows that the days of the blameless and their heritage shall remain forever. They are not put to shame in evil times. In the days of famine, they have abundance. But the wicked will perish, and the enemies of the Lord are like the glory of the pastures. They vanish, like smoke, they vanish away.
All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we're just so grateful again that we can come here and worship you and learn from you and be in your word, and we thank you for the fellowship. And Lord, we ask that all that we do is with intent, with a purpose, that we bring praise, honor, and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now, if you guys just want to get up and leave right now, I understand. We're talking about patience today. Yep. That's where we're at today. And it was interesting today was the psalm reading, Psalm 37. Title that the ESV gives it is, He Will Not Forsake His Saints. And when we look at what the Old Testament people did, especially David, the things that he went through, he had to wait on God. He had to be patient. He couldn't take matters into his own hands. He had a number of opportunities to where he could have. But he chose not. I've got two Bibles up here. he could have. And today we're going to talk about that patience. Patience and tolerance kind of get kind of the same word. And when we look at it, we hear that word tolerant all the time, don't we? We need to be tolerant of this, tolerant of that. What does that mean? Well, to be patient, to put up with. And we're going to talk about that a little more, but as we see things that are going on, it doesn't look good from the way we want them. But did God ever promise us a great life filled with, I don't know, Skittles and rainbows? No. No, he didn't. He didn't. There's always storms that come along. There's always those storms. Then after the storms, what do we see? After a good rainfall, what do we see? A rainbow. After all that devastation, after you see trees fall down and things like that, you see, yet God is still here. God is still with us. And a lot of times we just want to do things on our own accord. It's not always the best thing to do. So today we're going to be in James chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 7 through 12 is where we're going to be at today. James chapter 5, verses 7 through 12. And it says, Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruits of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who have remained steadfast. You have heard the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so you may not fall under condemnation. Now, this is one of those texts that kind of get taken out of context, but as we've noticed, as we've gone through the book of James, he's building on his previous thought. So last week, we looked at the rich and how they oppressed the workers. Five verse 4 says, "Behold, the wages of the laborer who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying against you, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts." So you got these people who are being oppressed. They're not getting their payment that they agreed upon. However, just because they're going through hardship, they're being cheated a wage, they still need to live for Christ. They're going through a hard time. They've got no control of it. Still need to live for Christ. Now, James, he tells us how to do that. First thing he says is to be patient. Be patient. It's not a word we enjoy hearing. How many of us like to tell others to be patient? Yep, we do, right? We do. When someone says, you know, be patient, wait on the Lord, be patient. Our response, if somebody says that to us, our response is usually, I don't wanna. Or, yeah, I know. Nobody likes it. Nobody likes it. The definition of patience is be able to accept or tolerate delays, problems, or suffering without becoming annoyed or anxious. Does that seem to fit together in our mindset? We're going through hardships. We're going through problems. Or you're going through delays. You're going through, how do you be patient when you're going through that road construction going north of town? Oh, that's tough. That's tough. Even when they had those pilot cars guiding, I don't know what it's like anymore. But that's tough, being patient and to tolerate that. Like, I know the end result is going to be good. We should have a gooder road. But I'm not sure how long those last. So they're doing something, and we need to be patient as the work continues. Yes, we're going to get mildly annoyed, irritated, but we need to watch it. We need to watch it. Now, we've made a culture where whatever we want to get it right away. We want to get it overnight. We need that part here yesterday. We need that thing yesterday because it's going to be an inconvenience if we don't have it. A rancher can have cows delivered in just a matter of days cross country. For those that drive truck and they got to get cows across, they get them there pretty fast, don't they? Because you only keep them in a trailer so long before you got to take them out. Get there pretty fast. I got to thinking, back in my long years of living here on earth, I got to see the tail end of a cattle drive. It was when they took cows from Texas up to Montana. They did that in 95. Who remembers hearing about that? It was a long haul. It took them 6 months to go from middle of Texas all the way up to Miles City, Montana. And I remember them walking down the main street as they were taking them to the final place. 6 months, they had started off with 256 cows. And now they even have more problems than they did in the past in the 18. See, what they wanted to do is relive the 1800s when they had the cattle drives, when they moved cows that way without trucks. They wanted to relive it. And this time, when they did it in 95, they had a few problems. There's a few more fences, right? Between here and here, between Montana and Texas. A few more roads. A few more cities to kind of go around or go through. I don't know if they went through downtown Denver or not. I couldn't tell you, but that'd be an interesting sight to see. They had all that. And in 6 months, they didn't lose any livestock. They all made it. They were slow. They were steady. They kept going. And I was thinking about this in the past. I was thinking, how long would it take in the past? I don't think it would take 6 months because they didn't have all the red tape to cut through. They didn't have all the cities to go through, the roads, the permits, the whatever it is you'd have to go to get branding inspections from here to there. They had a little more freedom. Probably get there a little less time. So people had certain kind of patience in the past because they had to. They really had to. Most clothing was made and repaired. The mail was just a little bit slower, as long as the mail carrier didn't get shot on his way doing his job. And people needed time to get from place to place. You couldn't get in your Porsche and just go across the state of South Dakota. It took just a little bit of time. I think you can now. I think the roads are too rough for that. Some will call that the good old days. I'm not sure I would say that. You look at those situations they had, the problems that they had. I'm not sure they thought it was the good old days either. I'm not even sure now is the good old days. I'm not sure they're going to get much gooder. I think the only good old days are the ones when, right after creation, before sin came in. Those are the original good old days. See, every generation, every season, decade, 10 years, 5 years, have had its problems, right? We're going to look back on 2020 and recall the great toilet paper shortage of 2020. Explaining to the grandkids how we survived that. Nowadays, we don't like to be patient. We're in a hurry. We want instant gratification. We want it now. We want our oatmeal right now in 1 minute. We're in a hurry. We also want problems to go away right now. Who likes lingering problems? Anybody? No. If we had our choice, problems would be dealt with before they arrived. Now, when we look at the passage and patience that James is using, he uses a farmer to illustrate it. The farmer is dependent upon numerous things, even on the rains. A farmer must wait for the right time to plant and to harvest. I don't think I've seen any farmers planting when it's pouring down rain, have they? I don't know if that'd do any good. They'd get their equipment stuck. They have to wait for the right time. Growing crops takes patience and maybe a little insanity. The farmer cannot predict the weather, so they just do what they do and hope for a good crop. Although I told you this a while ago, I met a guy who just got into the farming this year. Quit his job and went to farming. I asked him why he would do that, because he said he wanted to. Now he's praying for hail. He says the insurance pays better than the crop does. He says, oh, and you want to be a farmer. So farmers must know that they cannot cause the growth. Only the Lord does that. Now I know a number of farmers, and I've never met one that was truly patient. Anybody met a farmer that was truly patient? Nope, they're always irritated about something. Because the weather ain't going to go their way that day, And it's going to be different for their neighbor just 5 miles down the road. And they're really annoyed at the same time, for the most part. The farmer must learn to be patient. And so do the rest of us. Those of you who can't farm, don't farm. People like me who like to kill crops need to learn patience. And James points that out. He says in verse 8, "You also be patient. Establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." Be patient. Establish your heart. What it means to stand firm in your faith and not buckle under the pressure of severe trials. You got to stand strong. You got to endure it. They must not give in to the temptation to sin during hardship. Rather, keep looking forward to Christ and His coming. Because the passage says, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. That's one way to establish your heart. Is know and realize and believe that God is coming back, right? We're looking forward to Him. He's going to be back on His time. He's going to be back. And guess what else? So we're looking forward to Him coming back. But what did He send while He's gone? The Helper, right? Christ sent His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to us. So the coming of Christ is at hand. It's coming. And He's here with us right now. He's here with us. And we need to live like that. We need to understand that when we have this thought processing, hey, Christ is coming back, and Christ is here. He sent His Spirit, the Helper, the Counselor. For those who believe, He seals and indwells them. See, the people need to keep trusting God when times seem questionable. You just watch 8 minutes of the news, you're wondering, God, are You still here? Where are You at? He's still there. He's still there. When one does not doubt that Christ has the situation, they display patience. If you can go through life saying, you know what, Jesus got this. I'm going through some hard times, but I know Christ is right there. He's right there with me, guiding me, everything that I go through. And it's just as the laborer that James was talking about earlier, he had to wait on the Lord. He couldn't do much. He didn't have nowhere to go. He was waiting for his wages. I don't know what the job market was like. I didn't know if he went on a job service, applied for a new job or not. I don't think they had it, but he was out there working fields. He had to be patient. He had to wait for the Lord to take care of the situation. And one who can do that displays patience. So how does one learn patience according to James? Very simple. Do not complain or grumble. You can say it all day. Putting it straight, forward, and simple. Do not grumble or complain about others. Do not talk bad about others, no matter what you're going through, no matter what they're putting you through. It all goes back. It all goes back to controlling your speech, controlling your tongue. If one cannot control their speech, they're going to be judged by all the things that they say. By being patient with others is controlling what you say and how you say what's on your mind. There are some things that need to be said, and there are some things that don't need to be said. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 through 15 tell us, "And we urge you, brothers, to admonish the idles, encourage the faint-hearted, to help the weak, be patient with all of them. See to it that no one repays evil for evil, but always seeks to do good to one another and to everyone." Being patient. Ephesians 4:2, "With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love." And that's the same text, that's the same idea that James is doing. Putting up with people, bearing with them, tolerate them. Now we are to love one another. We are to love people. We are to be patient with them. We are to tolerate the person, however, if it goes against Scripture, we don't tolerate the idea or the teaching. We are to love people where they're at, but use correction when needed. Now, one can be patient, but it takes work. And James, he uses the prophets as example. He makes this generic statement. He says, as an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Basically, he clumped them all up. The prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord sought the Lord and showed patience. Their deeds caused them suffering because their service to the Lord. A few examples. Jeremiah faced opposition through his entire ministry. Daniel was taken captive and was persecuted for his faith and thrown into a lion's den. And then we've got this guy by the name of Hosea. His marriage was brutal. His marriage was rough. And those are just to name a few. These guys are doing the Lord's work. They're doing what the Lord put on their hearts, as the prophets did. And were they rewarded for it on earth? No, they were persecuted. The prophets were persecuted. Then there's one man that James mentioned by name. This person is Job. Job is a unique individual. He was one who remained steadfast through trials. I cannot begin to imagine what he went through. If you recall the narrative of Job, he was pretty well off, wasn't he, in the beginning? He was doing good. He was doing real good. He had all kinds of critters to take care of. He had family, wife, and kids. Job was a righteous man, wasn't he? He would even offer sacrifices in case his kids have sinned. Because, you know, just in case they did this, I need to do this. I want to do what's right. But there's trials that came along in his life, wasn't there? He was made for a purpose. He was made for a purpose. All in a short time, what happened to him? His critters died, right? His servants died. His kids died. That was part one. Because God says this to Satan, you can't touch him. You can't touch him. But the devil got to wreck his life other ways. Part two. God says to Satan, yeah, you can touch him now. Just don't kill him. Job's got to be a tough guy to go through that. So he's sitting there outside the gates, probably looking pretty horrible. You'd probably keep your distance. You would, we think 6 feet is bad. How far away would you stay from Job if you were to see him? Well, I imagine you'd back up pretty good. The sores and boils and everything that he had, the skin issues. And his wife said to him, she said, curse God and die. And I got to thinking about that this morning. Curse God and die. You know, the whole cursing part be tough to do. But the idea of dying after going through something like that kind of seems right. You're going through all this suffering. Why do I want to keep suffering? And this is my own thought process. Yeah, I would love to die. I wouldn't want to live in pain and agony knowing that everything around me has died and disappeared and been taken captive. But you know what? Job's character. No, I'm not going to do that. He was faithful. Then on top of that, he had three great friends, right? Accusing him of things he didn't do. Boy, he went through it. Job was made for this time and was made to take that hardship. He endured physical hardship, emotional hardship, and his friends were kind of mean to him, accusing him of things that he was innocent of. However, God was with him through all, and God revealed part of himself to Job and then blessed Job with abundance. He went through this trial. In my earthly mind, Job didn't deserve it. But God made Job. He gave him tough shoulders to carry that weight. He blessed Job, even though God kind of needed to correct him too. God was merciful and compassionate to Job. And I like what it says in there. Job did not sin with his words. What a great man. Shows us how to go through things. After James got done talking about Job, he made this statement in verse 12. He says, "But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth, or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, so that you may not fall under judgment." Again, he goes back to the whole speech. Do not swear by anything, no matter how serious you may be. Rather, be simple. Be a person of integrity. When you say yes, let it mean yes. Same goes for no. Swearing by an oath can be dangerous. Jesus says in Matthew 5:33-37, says, "Again, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make a false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is a footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot even make one hair white or black. But let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond these is of evil." Now, when I hear somebody make an oath, they promise on this or that. To me, they appear to be doing something shady, trying to hide something. They tried to flower things over, make themselves appear to be more righteous than they may be. Kind of puts doubt in my mind. And the simple thing is, use small words. Use small words. Yes or no? Yes or no? That's according to Jesus and James. Kind of two guys I'd really listen to. Just say yes or no. Because if you start doing anything more, it leads you into temptation to sin. Now, James, this passage is pretty well cut and dry. Pretty clear. We need to be patient. We need to be patient as we go through situations and trials. We need to watch our speech and our conduct so as not to make a mess of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a hard time with patience in life. We want it now. We want it yesterday. We want the problem dealt with now. That's the mindset we have. So how do we learn patience, guys? How do we learn patience? I'm going to tell you the easiest one and most dangerous one. Pray about it. Ask God to give you patience. Pray for it. How many of you have done that? We got a few brave people that did that. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I did that. When I did that, I was working, and they hired two other people. One person I got the privilege to work with, he wouldn't use the bathroom where we were at. He had to go a block away to use the bathroom. I don't know why. Another one wouldn't get off the forklift to answer a door. She tried to stay on the forklift and grab the doorknob. You just sit back, you shake your head. You're going, I prayed for this. You're allowing me to go through this. It's not fun because the Lord gives us opportunities to display patience, doesn't He? He will let you go through certain things so you can learn how to deal with it. One example of patience is God. I always keep looking at Him. I'm like, God, why are you so patient with us? He in the past wanted to clear the earth, right? Because of the wicked. However, God is patient. God is patient. He brings Israel out of Egypt. For 40 years He puts up with them. I don't know if I would have lasted a week if I was God on what they were doing. God is patient with us, isn't He? He's very patient. Romans 2:4 says that God's patience leads to our repentance. Romans 9:22 points out that God's patience prevents Him from destroying the objects of wrath, which is us. Paul glorifies the Lord for His ultimate patience that saved him, the worst of sinners. In our human mind, Paul should have just been struck by lightning, shouldn't he? Not called to preach the gospel. He was a horrible person. God had patience. Peter highlights the patience of God in 1 Peter 3:20, pointing out that God has immense patience with evil people of Noah's day, displaying judgment as long as delaying judgment as long as possible. And even today, our Lord's patience gives people time to be saved. It's an area of our life that we really need to work on. We need to be Christ-like and put up with people who oppress us. Do not tolerate sinful behavior. But we need to be careful how we respond. We have our duty to respond in a loving way and truthful way. You've heard it said, hate the sin, love the sinner, right? Patience helps us with that. People are going to rub us the wrong way, but we need to be patient. If you've ever got the opportunity to work with a new Christian, you need to be patient. If you're discipling somebody, you need to be patient with them and allow God to work through us and through them. Now, prayer is probably the most important thing when we're being tested and our patience is being tested. Prayer is so valuable. It draws us closer to God. It gets our minds refocused because it's not about us in the moment. It's about glorifying God and who He is. It's about seeking after Him, not ourselves. We're to seek after Christ and ask Him to guide us as we go through these trials. Now, it is so hard to do when we're so blinded by what's in front of us. We've got this huge issue right here. But we've got to look beyond that. We might not be able to see it, but we know that God's got a plan and a purpose. Seek the kingdom of God so as to set your mind right. Now, the opposite of patience is agitation, discouragement, and a desire for revenge. God does not want His people to live in such a state, but in peace. He wants us to dispel discouragement and replace it with hope and praise. We are not to avenge ourselves, rather we are to love others. That's the big one right there, love others. And reset our minds. We get so focused on the negative that we forget the positive. We are to live in peace with others, love them, show them the love of Christ. This life is short. This life is short. And the cool thing is Christ could come at any moment. Live like that. Live like that. Live like the Lord. Live like the coming of the Lord is closer. day by day, moment by moment. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for the hard text, for the scripture that you have. And Lord, we ask and you will give as you see fit. You talked about the importance of patience. We need to be loving one another. We need to tolerate people even though they rub us the wrong way because you made us different. You challenge us. You shape us. Help us to look towards you in all that we go through. Help us to seek you. Help us to seek your direction. Help us to call on you. Help us to take the blinders off that the world has put on our face and seek you and your will and your goodness and your grace. Help us to seek who you are rather than those small things of the world. Lord, I ask that you use us for great things. You have a plan for each and every one of us. Lord, I ask that you open up our hearts to what you are going to show us as we continue to serve you day after day. Give us the opportunities to show your love to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Amen.